Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for February 2nd, 2025 is based on Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. The guest preacher is Pastor Larry Donner.
The first reading. Christians in Corinth prided themselves on their spiritual gifts. Paul reminds them that God gives us many gifts through the Holy Spirit, but the purpose behind all of them is love, the kind of love that God showed us in Jesus Christ. The reading from 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. And as for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part. We prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
I would invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. You know, we stand to show honor to God during the gospel. And an introduction to the gospel today. People in Jesus' hometown are initially pleased when he says that God will free the oppressed. Their pleasure turns to rage, however, when he reminds them that God's prophetic mission typically pushes beyond human boundaries so that mercy and healing are extended to those regarded as outsiders. A reading from Luke. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, says Paul, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Those words are hard to hear for one who makes his living trying to speak in the tongues of angels, or at least of Billy Graham. I think I could die peacefully if after one of my sermons, someone sitting in the third row would say, "Oh, didn't Pastor Larry sound like an angel today?" I am in the tongues of mortals and angels business, after all. But St. Paul says that without love, all my words are like the first blast of a rented trumpet by a 14-year-old boy who's only taking band in order to build up his grades for football. Does that sound like somebody can resonate with that, perhaps? I don't know. These are strong words from Paul today. Whatever love may mean here, it's something strong, unsentimental, and tough. Paul, who wrote some beautiful words himself, says that words without love may be pretty, but they are nothing more than noise. And so please, just for this morning, try to put out of your mind all of those wedding solos and other mush that you have heard on this text. The Christian love that Paul is talking about here is not some refusal to look at the world as it is. Rather, it is the recognition that because the world is as it is, nothing less than love will do. And saying that makes me wonder how you all are feeling now about the fact that Pastor Corey has accepted a call to another congregation. His call to another church evokes memories in me about my own ministry. I had served at Messiah Lutheran up in Urbana, Ohio for 13 years. We had relocated and built a big new church. When surprisingly, the bishop at the time asked me to interview at another congregation. Now, I went ahead and I did that because, after all, it was the bishop who asked me to do it, but it was my intention to just go ahead, do one interview, and then go back to Messiah and my business there, go back to the church that I loved. Can you imagine how surprised I was when, after that and subsequent interviews, I felt compelled, absolutely compelled, by the Holy Spirit to leave Urbana and accept a call to Good Shepherd in Cincinnati. The people at Messiah generally were sad that I was leaving, while at the same time being happy for me. They understood how the Spirit can call anyone, a pastor or a parishioner, to some new ministry. One church member, however, admitted to having a mixture of emotions that we learned were shared by a number of people. She was not only happy and sad, she was angry too. "What's wrong with us? Don't you love us anymore?" she asked. "This feels like a divorce." And I have to wonder if some of you this morning might have that same kind of feeling, a feeling that this is an unwanted divorce foisted upon a happy marriage. Now, I can understand if that's the case, I really can, but Whatever feelings you may have this morning, one thing is sure. Nothing less than love will be required to get you through this and sort it all out. It is at marriage ceremonies that we probably most often hear this 1 Corinthians text about love from Paul. Wedding couples often will, in addition, arrange for a poem to be read or some song to be sung in order to celebrate love. And yet, because our culture has so twisted and perverted the word love, we really need to take care in our thoughts about it. Indeed, we're soon going to be celebrating St. Valentine's Day, a day that is surely dreamed up by florists and greeting card manufacturers, but in which it appears that romantic love is all that we need to cure everything that ails us. And yet any of you who have been in love in a romantic way, know how notoriously short-lived our feelings of romantic love can be, right? A lot of heads shaking there, yeah. Now, considering how much we talk about love, I find it quite curious that in the traditional Lutheran wedding service, so very little about love is mentioned. Oh, there is much talk about commitment and fidelity and being true to promises, so what does that tell you? Jesus did not come proclaiming a new philosophy of life. He came living and dying in a new way to perfectly embody love, which is why today Paul, who's been begging those feuding Christians at Corinth to get along with one another, now begs them to love one another in the same way that Christ has loved us. Because you see, Christian love is a sign of our relationship to Jesus Christ. It's not the cause of it. We love, committed, fully and faithfully, only because God in Christ first loved us in those ways. Most couples, when they're getting married, probably think that they're getting married because they love each other. But you know, we do not ask during the service, John, do you love Mary? No, we ask, John, will you love Mary? And you see the distinction. Love is spoken here, it is spoken in the future tense, something that's going to happen. So the marriage service is pointing out that love is the result of our commitment made to our partners, not the other way around, not the cause. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains, Paul continues, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Do you think Paul really meant to go that far? How much faith do you have here this morning, sitting in the pew, perhaps contemplating the departure of a beloved pastor? You might be satisfied with just enough faith to remove some of your doubts or to say the creed with conviction, much less to remove mountains. And yet Paul, who was really big on faith, makes this sweeping claim that without love, even faith is nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, says Paul, I gain nothing. And now remember, Paul was probably talking to people who had lost everything when they became Christians. People who had been disinherited and forsaken by their families, which makes all the more astounding what he says about love. I mean, what if you were in the congregation that day in Corinth and you had heard Paul say, as it is often translated, a little different than what we heard, but it's often translated this way, if I give away all that I have and deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And so what if you had witnessed, as no doubt some in Corinth had, your parents or your siblings burned to death because of their faith? And then here Paul claimed that without love, nothing was gained. Can you see why we are not to sentimentalize or sugarcoat this text? Earlier in his letter, Paul wrote, "When I came to you, I did not come preaching to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, in the world's wisdom, that is dumb. It's dumb. A God who gets crucified? It is comprehensible only as an act of total, self-sacrificial commitment. Commitment. So the next time you eat your eggs and bacon for breakfast, consider this. The chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. Paul continues, "Love is patient, kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all, it believes all, it hopes all, it endures all." And we sit in meetings in church, and we try to do the Lord's work, but I can tell you, there are times when we vehemently disagree on how that work is to be carried out. I mean, disagreements in church, can you believe it? And in those times, we can be so rude to one another, so cruel in our criticisms of others and what they've done or what they've not done, that it can cause people to leave in tears or at least go home and chug the Maalox. How can we hope to love our sister or brother whom we have not seen if we can't show even a little commitment to our sister or brother across the table from us? And if showing a little love in church, a church meeting, is tough, then just think how hard it is to show enduring commitment, which is not jealous and not arrogant, not rude or resentful. And that's why Paul goes on to say, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things." And this may be the most challenging part, my friends, because simply put, Christian love is not for babies. It isn't easy, because it does not come naturally to us. Paul isn't talking here about the joys of what we might call young love. The love that he's describing takes every ounce of your maturity, hard work done over a lifetime, waking up every morning asking God to help you love despite others, despite yourself. And so I'm sorry for those of you who are just out of or still in your adolescence, I'm really sorry, but Christian love is not for the young. It takes maturity. It will take some mature love for you, my friends, to now navigate through a new call process. But I tell you, you're not alone in this. There are mature Christians who will help you along the way, and many mature Christians right in this congregation, I've been talking to some of them today, who are going to provide strong and loving leadership for you. Paul ends today's passage with, "Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is," what? "Love." Now, for us Lutherans, who put so much emphasis on what Paul says about grace and faith, It can seem odd for God, for Paul to say that love is the greatest of the three. I mean, why would he claim that? It is because, says Paul, love never ends. And you see, dear friends, when we finally die, and through the grace of Christ, we see God face to face, faith, our faith, with which we have only seen God in a mirror, dimly, will have been transformed into crystal clear reality. And so our faith will no longer be needed. It will have been realized. And in the same way, our hope of salvation in Christ will have been realized too. And so our hope will no longer be necessary. All that will then remain is love. Because as St. John tells us in his gospel, God is love. Thus, love is the greatest. And then, as now, nothing less than love will do. Which is why we ask God's blessing upon marriages and all of our relationships. Because love is a gift from God. It's not a human achievement. And I therefore ask God to give you the grace that you need to now love one another as God has loved you in Christ, completely, committedly, and forever. Pastor Corey still loves you, and I know that you still love him. Neither distance nor time need change that. But God's love has now called him to a new ministry, even as God's love is now calling you to a new ministry. It's normal, and it's quite okay to have a mixture of feeling under these circumstances. I'm sure he has a mixture of emotions too. But that is why nothing less than love will do. God's love, unending, totally committed love given through Jesus Christ. That's what it will take for you and for Corey and for our world. And thank God, therefore, for his love through Jesus Christ our Lord. May that love uplift and sustain you now and into the future to which God is calling you. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.